Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 26, 2018. South Sudan expresses anger towards remarks by U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who said the government of President Kiir is, quote, unfit partner.
Ambassador Nikki Haley made inflammatory and defamatory remarks, including her uncalled for idea of armed embargo. Ambassador Nikki Haley's remarks do not serve well the good relations which the people and the government of South Sudan always wish to exist between the two people and governments.
And a South Sudanese ambassador to Russia resigns.
Reasons that I have resigned is not the subject matter. The subject matter is that I have resigned as ambassador representing South Sudan in Moscow.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government has reacted angrily to remarks made by U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, in which she said South Sudan government is, quote, unfit partner. A top foreign ministry official says Haley's remarks will undermine historic relations between the U.S. and South Sudan. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley did not mince words as she addressed the U.N. Security Council on Wednesday.
The government of South Sudan is increasingly proving itself to be an unfit partner for this council and any country seeking peace and security for the people of South Sudan. The United States will never give up on this effort. But if there is to be true peace in South Sudan, its leaders must step up and make a true commitment to end this conflict once and for all.
Haley also accused President Salva Kiir of promoting three generals who, she says, led the slaughter of innocent South Sudanese women, children and old men, the same generals who were sanctioned by the Security Council in 2015. But Haley said the council must do more, saying it should impose an arms embargo on South Sudan to slow the flow of arms and ammunition to the country and to save the lives of innocent civilians. Ministry back Valentino Wall, Undersecretary of South Sudan's Foreign Affairs, called a news conference in Juba today to respond to Haley's remarks.
Ambassador Nikki Haley made many undue inflammatory and defamatory remarks on the situation in South Sudan, including her uncalled for idea of armed embargo. Ambassador Nikki Haley's remarks do not serve well the good relations which the people and the government of South Sudan always wish to exist between the two people and governments. The government of the Republic of South Sudan would like to register its concern and protest in the strongest terms against the recent unjustified remarks made by Ambassador Nikki Haley. The government of the Republic of South Sudan has endeavored to promote diplomatic dialogue with the government of the United States of America and welcomes any advice on bilateral basis and bilateral issues.
Wall says his ministry summoned the U.S. Judge of Affairs, Michael Morrow, to clarify Haley's remarks.
Any negative statement is likely to affect relations. I cannot get up in the morning as Undersecretary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and insult a president of another country or say something bad about the government of another country and hope that such statements will foster peace and good relations between nations. It doesn't. And that is why we call the representative of the U.S. administration to tell him that we are not happy.
The IGAD-led high-level revitalization forum is scheduled to open round two of its negotiations in Addis Ababa on February 5th. Haley called on the Intergovernmental Authority on Development to ensure that the parties find the political will to compromise on longer-term security and governance arrangements. If they don't, Haley said, the Security Council should work with the region to find a new path to peace. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still on diplomatic issues, South Sudan's ambassador to Russia has resigned. Tilar Ring Deng tendered his resignation on Thursday in a letter addressed to President Salva Kiir. In an exclusive interview with South Sudan in Focus yesterday, Deng confirmed he quit his job. He declined to explain why he stepped down from his post in Moscow, only saying that he would like to work towards peace in South Sudan in his capacity as a private citizen.
Yeah, the letter is authentic, and I read it and I signed it myself. is authentic.
And what are the reasons why you resigned?
Reasons that I have resigned is not the subject matter. The subject matter is that I have resigned as ambassador representing South Sudan in Moscow. I will go to the headquarters.
How long have you been representing South Sudan?
I was appointed as an ambassador to Russian Federation in October 2014. And until today, when I submitted my resignation.
Is your resignation connected to the letter from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Deng Alor, asking you to report to Juba within 72 hours?
Not necessarily. To be recalled to go to headquarters for consultation is not a sufficient reason for one to resign. In actual fact, I've been speculating resign for some time now, and I just decided today to submit in my resignation. As a matter of fact, I got the letter from the headquarters after I've been sent my letter of resignation. So the two are not interrelated.
Ambassador Tirar, South Sudan needs you and needs your contribution at this crucial moment. Why would you turn your back to your country?
No, I will not turn my back to my country. I will utilize my talents in other areas as a private citizen.
What are these other areas?
Well, I will work towards peace for our people. Our people have suffered for the last 4 years, and they have been suffering for centuries. There are people who will speculate that once I resign, I will jump the fence and work against our people or work against peace. That's not my interest. I will participate in peace building as a private citizen.
Before your appointment to Russia, people have been saying you are the right-hand man of President Salva Kiir. Did you discuss with him your resignation before you issued this letter?
No, I did not discuss it with him, and I still remain as a friend to President Salva. We have been friends for a long time, since 1984, and we will still continue as friends. The fact that I was pulled out being an ambassador in Russia doesn't destroy our personal relationship with the president here.
But your decision to pull out looks like a slap on his face.
Not necessarily. I don't think so. It's not a slap on his face. As long as I'm a South Sudanese citizen, I can come to Juba anytime and participate in whatever capacity as a private citizen. Maybe I may not be in my official capacity as an ambassador. But as a South Sudanese, we all want a peaceful resolution to the current conflict.
South Sudanese envoys around the world have been going through tough time. I mean, the ones in Washington here have not been paid. How was the situation with your staff in Russia?
No, it is all over. It is all over that we have not been paid until January. We will be 10 months. We have been paid January, February, March, that but that's not the reason for my resignation. I don't see that as a reason to resign from my post in Moscow.
But that post is a big post. I mean, you are representing a country. For you to step down, it sends a message. What kind of message are you trying to send out?
I will still continue to advocate for peace as a private citizen. It is my desire for us as South Sudanese to come together, forget about the past, sit on the table, negotiate in good faith, so that our people don't suffer longer than they had already been.
Are you going to join hands with those who have already started the negotiations in Addis Ababa?
No, I will not join hands with them because it is the participant has already been decided upon, and I will lobby on my personal capacity as a citizen, and I'm not going to be on the table for the negotiation if I have reasons which I think to be my contribution to next round of talks. I will give them as a private person.
And just a final question. I know there have been allegations that you have been meeting with former SPLA Chief of Staff General Paul Malong and the former detainees. We did not give you an opportunity to defend yourself on these allegations. Would you like to do that?
Well, because I thought that was not enough. That was not a legitimate accusation. General Paul Malong came here after he has confined with the President Kiir, meeting him as a friend. Doesn't indicate that of respect. A lot of people meet with General Malong, and even with the President Kiir met with General Malong when he came for inauguration of President Uhuru. So it is not something that people have to raise eyebrows that I've met with General Paul Malong. Or I've met with the former detainees, because former detainees themselves, they didn't meet with the President Kiir, they didn't meet with the South Sudanese who know them.
That's Tilar Ringdeng, South Sudan's ambassador to Russia. He was speaking. He was appointed as head of mission at the South Sudan Embassy in the Russian Federation in 2014 after his first appointment as Minister for Justice was rejected by the South Sudan National Legislative Assembly in 2012. He was speaking to me from Nairobi yesterday. Community leaders in the disputed Abyei region are calling on the United Nations Secretary General to fire the head of the UN Interim Security Force for Abyei, saying he failed to do his job. The Dinka Ngok leaders also want the head of UNISFA's engineering unit removed. They argue the peacekeeping mission is over-influenced by the Sudanese government. Michael Atit attended a protest in Abyei earlier this week and has more for VOA from WOW.
Hundreds of Abyei residents demonstrated on Tuesday to demand the immediate removal of the UNISFA chief, Robert Kirkwood, and UNISFA's head of engineering unit, Leit Hadadin. Kirkwood was appointed in November 2017. Hadadin has worked in Abyei since UNISFA was established in June 2011. Ngok Dinka traditional chiefs, including Paramount Chief Balabag Deng Kwol, organized the peaceful demonstration. Ngok Dinka leader Chief Bagad Makwach of Manyuar Chiefdom read aloud a 3-page letter addressed to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in which local leaders accuse UNISFA of no longer being neutral in the conflict over the disputed Abyei region. They note UNISFA officials get entry visas into Abyei from Khartoum, not Juba. They say this is a clear violation of the Status of Forces Agreement signed by Sudan and South Sudan in 2012. And Chief Makwach accuses UNISFA Engineering Unit of employing Sudanese rather than South Sudanese citizens.
I demand insistence of the Chief Engineering Unit to implement only projects that facilitate easy movement of Sudanese military and their proxy settles north of Abyei. Meanwhile, the engineering unit would not implement roads, airport, for which funds have been availed by the United Nations since 2014.
Makwach says local leaders are calling for the immediate dismissal of UNISFA's leaders in the area.
The Chief of Mission Support and Mr. Les Hadadin, Chief of Engineering Unit, must leave Abyei area as soon as possible. Number two, UNISFA must abandon its current policy of recognizing only the self-unity of Sudan. It is wrong.
26-year-old Nyarob Akok has worked as a UNISFA administrator for 3 years. She says she supports the community leaders who are demanding rights for the Abyei people. She says her contract with UNISFA was supposed to be renewed in November last year.
Many ICs have been working inside here for something like 7 to 8 years, and they don't get national positions. Sometimes the positions come and they tend to disappear, and we don't know where the positions really go. There are a lot of developmental activities that are supposed to take place in Abyei, but Leith is an obstacle, because whenever he doesn't agree on something, there is nothing that gets done in UNISFA. And if truly this mission is for the good of Abyei people, this man must evacuate this place.
UNISFA spokesperson Daniela De Kera says there is a misunderstanding between the community and UNISFA. But he says UNISFA will engage more with community leaders to explain the mission's mandate.
UNISFA, or the UN as an organization, cannot take disciplinary action because you know the implication on any of its staff without concrete evidence to the issues raised. We need grounds for investigation. You cannot just say somebody has taken side and then what are the evidence?
Adekera says the UNISFA administration will convey the concerns of the community to the UN Secretary General and await his response. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of Yei Town want the United Nations to report human rights abuses in the area. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you think about skin bleaching?
For us, because I'm black and I'm satisfied how God created me.
For me, it's not good because when we look at the disadvantages of skin bleaching, for example, skin cancer and several other things. For example, when we see people have bleached and the effects they have when they go under the sun, we look at it and we say it's certainly not something good.
I'm a black, so I don't need to change my skin because I am very satisfying for this skin exactly. I can even give them an advice. If you use those products to change your skin, somehow not good because it can even bring some permanent disease like cancer.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. A dozen of African leaders will meet this weekend in Addis Ababa for the annual African Union Summit. This year's theme is combating corruption. VOA's Anita Powell reports getting the leaders to agree on a course of action is often difficult, even when it comes to a hot-button topic like insult about Africa recently uttered by U.S. President Donald Trump.
Already one man has taken the limelight at the annual gathering of African leaders, and he isn't even attending. U.S. President Donald Trump's uncomplimentary remark about African nations has deeply resonated among the 55-member body, the AU's Commission Chairman, Moussa Faki Mahamat, told African foreign ministers this week.
Au moment où vos assises se tiennent, l'Afrique n'a pas encore fini de digérer.
He says Africa has not finished digesting what he called Trump's shocking statements and the hatred and desire to marginalize and exclude Africa that they conveyed. Such a statement, he said, coming after others by the Trump administration on Jerusalem and the reduction of U.S. funding for international peacekeeping operations, makes one think that multilateralism is in the midst of a grave crisis. He says the African continent cannot remain silent on this subject. This is the second year that the American leader raised hackles at an event meant for African nations to talk about reforming national institutions, restoring peace, and bettering the lives of some 1.2 billion people on the continent. Last year, it was Trump's announcement that the U.S. would ban visitors from several countries, including three AU member states, Libya, Somalia, and Sudan. The ban, which is still being challenged in court, has now expanded to include the Central African nation of Chad. AU analyst Lisa Lovaudrin says she expects to hear some pointed words against the U.S. at this year's summit, but no anti-American resolutions. And that, she says, is a key weakness of the Addis Ababa-based institution. The AU is built on consensus, and getting 55 very different members to agree on sensitive issues is a tall order.
The AU for African citizens have yet to show its relevance when it comes to, for example, intervening in peace and security issues and crises on the continent, which to an extent is the core business of the AU. It needs to intervene where no one else will and mediate in crisis.
Regarding the U.S., it's already clear the body doesn't speak as one. The AU's current head, Rwandan President Paul Kagame, smiled as he met with Trump Friday on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Switzerland and spoke about trade and cooperation. Alyssa Jobson, AU Relations Advisor for the International Crisis Group, says she'd like to see more action from the AU.
What I'd like to see on the agenda would be some of the crucial peace and security issues, the DRC, South Sudan, and Somalia. although I expect that these will not be on the agenda. I think we'll probably see them also tackling another crucial issue for the African Union, the institutional reforms that are being spearheaded by Paul Kagame.
That, she says, is the nature of meetings like this. Most of the action happens behind closed doors or on the sidelines. The summit of heads of state begins Sunday. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Still on African affairs, the Washington-based Enough Project says inaction at the African Union and IGAD has contributed to prolonged conflict in South Sudan. The group says empty threats helped create an atmosphere of impunity in South Sudan. ANBR has more for VOA from Washington.
Between IGAD and the African Union, 20 statements have been released since December 2013, condemning the violence and promising to hold perpetrators accountable. All the while, fighting continues in parts of the country. In previous statements, both the AU and IGAD have threatened asset freezes, visa bans, and arms embargoes on those responsible for prolonging the conflict. Brian Adeba, Deputy Director of Policy at the Enough Project, says, looking back, the African Union and the regional bloc IGAD have fallen short on their promises.
When you look at all these three, none of them have ever actually been implemented. And the African Union doesn't seem to be keen on following through on the threats that they've made. And that actually contributes to creating impunity among the spoilers. They know they can get away with it. They know they can violate any cessation of hostilities agreement or any ceasefire and get away with it because no one is ever going to hold them accountable.
These empty threats have resulted in a lack of leverage on leaders who no longer take international threats seriously, according to Adeba. Looking forward, Adeba says, the next round of the High-Level Revitalization Forum cannot be business as usual. A UN-backed arms embargo could stem the flow of weapons to South Sudan, but Adeba argues that move relies heavily on the African Union.
If the African Union is opposed to an arms embargo, it cannot happen at the Security Council. The Security Council members tend to follow the cue of the African Union. What we've seen in the past is that member countries of the African Union on the Security Council have been very reluctant to support an arms embargo. Okay, and the number of times that an arms embargo resolution was tabled at the Security Council, and the number of times it's failed is because of the lack of support from the African countries.
And Adeba says conflicting geopolitical interest among member AU countries and IGAD member states further complicate matters.
For instance, right now, Ethiopia and Eritrea are in a tug of war because of the alleged presence of Turkish troops on Eritrean soil and the establishment of a Turkish military base over there. Sudan is also not happy with Egypt. Sudan and Ethiopia are on one side versus Egypt. Sudan and Egypt have this contentious issue over the Halab Triangle, and that has been a pricky thorn in the relations between both countries. When you look at these dynamics at play here, and then you see a very divided region, and then it is very difficult to imagine that these differences will not somehow affect the talks that are coming up.
The next phase of the High-Level Revitalization Forum between all stakeholders present at the last forum held in December is scheduled to take place the first week of February in the Ethiopian capital. Ayan Deng Bior for VOA News, Washington.
Residents of Yei Town are calling on the United Nations mission in South Sudan to report cases of human rights abuses in their area. Daniel Martin Friday reports from Yei Town.
Since fighting flooded up again in July 2016 and spread to Yei River State, the capital Yei has been the scene of rampant human rights abuses, including killings and rapes, causing the massive displacements of hundreds of thousands of people who fled to camps in Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Last year, community leaders and government officials appealed to armies to reopen its base in Yei to offer protection to civilians. On Thursday, hundreds of people gathered at the Arab area of Yei Town to witness the reopening of the army's base. Speaking in Arabic, Yei Town resident Charity Yudu is hopeful that the presence of UN peacekeepers in Yei Town will bring an end to rampant rapes and killings in the area.
Let UNMIS return here fully
to address some of the problems we have in Yei. They should not only patrol the streets. We want them to support the reopening of the roads leading to the villages, because women have suffered enough. They have been raped and they could not access the rural areas to harvest crops from their gardens.
Speaking in Arabic, Yei Town Elder Anthony Digo says he is happy that army's forces are back and hopes peace will return to the area.
Killing of civilians, raping of women, looting of properties should come to an end, and we want UNMISS to reach out to the people in the rural villages so that we are united back with our people in the villages, and so that the people will believe that they have come to protect all civilians in Yei, and this is what I expect from them.
UNMISS Chief David Sierra says his team will work with the government and armed groups to bring about peace and stability in the area.
This base is not for our soldiers of UNMISS to be sitting here inside the base. This is only a place from where they will go out along the roads and into the villages and into the communities. We want them to help encourage people to come back and live safely in their towns and their villages. For the people who are in Uganda, who have fled this area, to feel safe enough to come back. We hope that our presence here will encourage other agencies to do with food, with helping with education, helping with health services, and with food production to come in here and support the people here in their efforts to get ahead again.
Speaking at the same event, Yei River State Governor David Lokonga Moses said the government will work with UNMISS to restore peace in the area and urged UN peacekeepers to help state authorities protect civilians and ensure aid workers have access to the most vulnerable people.
I ask cooperation between the UNMISS forces who are here and the SPLA who are in Yei River State. I want to ask that starting from today onwards, I think the level of cooperation, you have to increase the level of cooperation, how to share all what you had want to do to make sure that a lasting peace is brought in Yei. I pledge all the necessary support to whosoever is wanted from me.
Article 6, subsection 2 of the Cessation of Hostilities Agreement signed in December last year by all stakeholders states that the parties shall cooperate with UNMISS in the discharge of its mandate to protect civilians. And Article 7 of the same agreement also states that the parties shall guarantee the safety and security of all humanitarian personnel. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei River State.
That report from Yei brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Zonga by Seko Lamrade.
Kanga sheli na loketo wo, mama na bana kanga peri na nzoto wo. Mais je ferai tout pour qu'ils redeviennent miennes. Écoute mon pardon, Bossana, nos problèmes. Être loin de toi, c'est ma plus grosse peine. Oublie le passé, je ne te ferai plus de peine. Zonga, Zonga, Zonga. Ça fait déjà quelques années qu'on n'est plus ensemble. La flamme de notre amour s'est réduite en cendres. L'ange de l'amour pour nous ne veut plus descendre. T'es parti sans savoir même chercher à comprendre. As-tu quelque chose à te reprocher? Est-ce que j'ai tout gâché? On s'était promis de jamais se lâcher. Tous nos souvenirs se sont effacés. Oui, j'avoue, depuis ton départ, tout était flou. T'étais ma béquille sans je tiens plus debout. Le sucre de notre amour n'avait plus de goût. Coup sur coup.
We've been listening to Seko Lamrade with the song Zonga. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We want to hear what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Have a great weekend and join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ça fait déjà quelques mois qu'on se rejette la faute. Toi c'est moi, cet avenir c'est le nôtre. Avançant sans écouter ce qui se dit à côté. Pas une autre, c'est toi ma chérie que je vais doter. As-tu quelque chose à m'annoncer?